Right, say amen. Okay.
All right. Anyway, okay. Anyway, so there's this slender old man that comes in and says, "Hey, I'll work for you." He said, "Well, are you a good farmhand?" And he says, "Well, I don't know about that, but I can tell you one thing. I can sleep when the wind blows." And I can sleep when the wind blows. And that was the thing. This farmer was dealing with this tragedy that was coming off these winds that were coming off the coast. And so one night, farmer's in bed and he hears this howling wind coming off the bay, and he says, "Oh no, we gotta run. We're not prepared for this, you know." And so he goes into the bunkhouse of this old man. He says, "Wake up, wake up." He said, "There is a storm coming and everything's gonna get blown away." Well, believe it or not, this old man rolls over with a stern voice and says, "Hey, I told you, I sleep when the wind blows." Ooh, farmer, angry. Anger is filling in his heart. But he thought about even firing him on the spot. But instead, he went to go outside and start to go and tie everything down. But to his amazement, the hay had been tarped. The cows had been put up. The chickens had been put in the... The barn doors had been barred and everything was ready to go. And then in that moment, that farmer, he realized what that farmhand meant. He was prepared for the things that were going to come. In our text today, Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, is dealing with some issues of false teaching going on in the church. And this text that we're looking at is something, and it's a call to persevere, a call to be ready for whenever that storm comes. So let's dig in. It says, "But you remember," I'm reading out of the ESV, "but you must remember, beloved, the prediction of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause division, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." This is our text. This is what's going on. These people have had some people come in and trying to twist in the doctrine that they've been taught, that the apostles had taught. And the crazy thing is, the apostles let them know what was going to happen. The apostles knew it was going to let it happen. So here we go. Guys, I haven't even opened up my notes yet. Anyway. And so, first off, there's a warning. That's what Jude's trying to do. He's trying to warn them. Say, guys, there's some people that are going to come in, and they're going to try to twist and try to pull and gouge and get you to think that what you think is wrong, what you believe is wrong, and that they have a better truth than what you've been known. But they knew. But these men, they weren't just people saying, "Oh, no, these guys were following their own godly passions. They were doing things that they thought was right and that didn't even come up to the standards of what a godly man looked like." These men were coming in and trying to teach these people that with the word that they knew and the doctrine they've been taught is completely wrong and they don't have it right. But what we have here is also a command. There's a command found in this text. You know, it's surrounded by a bunch of subpoints that address this command, and that command is in verse 21. And it says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Now, what does that mean, keep yourself in the love of God? What does that mean? How do you do that? How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Well, actually, the text tells you how. All right. He starts out, he says, But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. That's the first. Building yourself up. Pursuing the process of your sanctification. Where you are going and learning how to be just like Christ. Where you are growing in your life and the things that you are doing is a reflection of that image of God and what He looks like. But also that faith that was taught by the apostles. The truths that had been taught, that had been passed down from generation to generation through the church. And telling these men how to live their lives and how to be godly men. But also, we also have praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean, praying in the Holy Spirit? All right, here we go. Teaching, praying in the Holy Spirit is, what they get from this is, it actually comes from Romans 8:26, where it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. That's what He does for us, and that's what we rely on. We come into a life and a calling that we have, and what this does is it allows us to submit ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's the praying that we want to do. But there's something else. It also says, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. That leads to eternal life. Waiting. Man, I know, you tell you one thing. I don't like to wait. Not me. I like to go and get what I got to get done and be done. So whenever He calls you to go wait, that's something that goes against the grain of our flesh. Because we want to indulge ourselves in what we want. And we want it now. That's the culture that we live in. And it's getting worse and worse every day. But waiting on the return of Christ, there's also something to look forward to. A glory that's going to be there whenever that day comes. Whenever Christ returns and sets up His kingdom and rules the world. That is what we look forward to. And that's what we wait on. And that's how we build our life. That's what we build our life around. But also it allows eternal life. Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Who provided that atonement that was needed as a sacrificial lamb that covered the sins of the world. That and gave us eternal life, even though we were condemned and we were in waiting for the judgment of God. He gave us eternal life. But not only that, guys, He also gives, in verse 22, how to deal with some of these people that were going on, that had been affected by this false teaching, people that had been taken in, and people who had been affected and had been moved and changed by these false teachers. And he tells them how to respond. He says, have mercy on those who doubt. There was people in the church in that time. Well, obviously, we're teaching this, and someone comes in and they're teaching that. There's going to be a little doubt because they're saying, what's the truth? Show mercy to them. Show them mercy. Show them love. But then, not only that, to another people, it says, save others by snatching them out of the fire. Now, this can be pretty hard to translate. But, you know, with the text and how it's dealing with believers, I believe these are the people who are in the church that had been taken astray by these guys. And everybody has somebody in their lives they know that's in that fire. And the only way that you're going to be able to get them out is you're going to snatch them out of it and say, here, boys, sit down and we got to talk about this. You know, that's what this is dealing with. And lastly, this is the worst. This is the most. This one, I call it proceed with caution. Proceed with caution. And it says, to others, show mercy with fear. Show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. These guys, they're corrupt. And they need you. And you need to go help them. But you also got to look at yourself. And you got to watch yourself because these guys have the ability to influence you. And there's going to be people out there that are going to be able to do that. I'll tell you, I'll get a little personal. My father, been in and out of prison almost my whole life. And I've been dealing with it since I was in high school. I watched him almost get shot. I've watched him in a crack house. He was a druggie. I've seen it. And every time I look back at it, I have to understand that I want to reach him because I love him to death. But I also got to remember that he can easily influence me because he's my father. I almost want to put away everything I say and just I want to love on him. And I want to do that, but also I got to watch for the influence that he is. And the world and the grasp that the world has on him. I got to watch out for them. So what do we take from this text? First off, keep in the love of God. Submit yourselves to him and allow yourselves to grow. And understanding the love that he has for you, that he sent his only son to die on the cross for your sins. But not only that, we also to continue to grow in your edification. Continue to grow in the process of becoming more like Christ in all that we do. Because that is what we are here to do. You see, the only way that God gets glory from us is when we show his character. That's the only way. Whenever he looks down on us and he sees us showing his character to the world, it makes him a proud father, proud God. But also continue to be in prayer. Prayer is everything. Prayer is your communication with God. Prayer is the one that links you between the Heavenly Father and this earth. And it is what allows you to grow. And that's how the Holy Spirit speaks through you and allows you to grow in that way. But also continue to wait earnestly for Christ's return. Because it's coming. And there's going to be a day whenever you're up there and you are going to be praising God and singing glorious, glorious praise to him. And that is something that we should look forward to. And lastly, guys, continue to show mercy to all people. Because the world has influence. The world has influenced them. And if you have a brother or sister that is, you know, maybe in a hard situation or maybe being engulfed in their own passions, show them mercy and love. Because that's what we're called to do. So the question is, are you going to be like the farmer who panicked whenever the storm hit? Or are you going to be like the farmhand who was sitting in bed, snowing away, you know, he was gone? That's what you have to ask. Are you going to be prepared? Praise God. Thank you very much, guys.